Edge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham and Rod Mullins, and we're going to talk NASCAR here on a Tuesday afternoon. And let's start. We could start with Vegas, but let's actually start, Rod, where we kind of left off last week. You know, of course, Daytona 500 was last week. We had a lot that we could have talked about with a great race, but Ryan Newman and that story took the bulk, if not the entirety, of that podcast. And the news since we last talked has gotten a lot better for Ryan Newman. Give us the latest on Ryan Newman and his condition.
Well, the latest on Ryan Newman and his condition is that he suffered a head injury. There are no broken bones. There are no internal injuries whatsoever when it comes to his vital organs. But in a statement released from Steve Newmark, who is the president of Roush Fenway Racing, he had a Q&A session in Las Vegas this past weekend, and talking about Ryan and the situation of what's going on with Ryan Newman. The statement that Ryan Newman had read by Steve Newmark, the president of Roush Fenway Racing, said that, you know, and he was sorry he couldn't be at the track and be there in person, but he asked Steve to kind of express his sincere appreciation and gratitude for all the support that's been shown to him and his family in the past week. But the main thing that he's trying to get across to everybody, of course, besides giving thanks to the staff at Halifax Medical Center, all the fans and so forth, he's wanting to let people know that there is a timetable that is going to be involved, and he will be back racing. It will be after NASCAR has certified him as being able to drive and to drive hopefully without any kind of major problems. Now, the only other driver that we know of right now that has spoken openly about head injuries or anything else has been the concussions with Dale Earnhardt Jr. And Dale Earnhardt Jr. has said what has affected him. It affected him on mood. It affected him on his eyesight. Just different things that affected him on. We don't know to what degree the head injury has damaged or at least has hampered Ryan Newman, to say the least, because it's still one of those things that it's a little bit of guesswork right now as to what's going to happen. He may do well, but he may come back and they certify him as being able to get back out on the track, but then something could happen. And so NASCAR wants to take all of those precautions. Ryan Newman wants to do the same thing and make sure that he is able to get back out on the track. And, you know, he said, I'm very fortunate to not have any internal organ damage or broken bones. He did say that I had sustained a head injury for which I'm currently being treated. The doctors are pleased with his progression over the last few days, but he says that Jack Roush has assured him more than anything else that the number six car will be waiting for him and for his return. And as Ryan Newman closed things out, he said, I'm really more than anything else looking forward to getting back behind the wheel and battling for another race win in the Roush Fenway Ford. And a lot of people think that Newman has the potential, or at least had the potential up until this point with Daytona. He could have won maybe a championship for Roush Fenway, their first in a very, very long time. So it's just good to hear that he is going to be back. It's the timetable that is undecided right now by NASCAR and by Jack Roush and Fenway Racing. So we're going to have to wait a little while to see if he's going to be able to get back out there, go through this process again. And in the meantime, Ross Chastain, who is known as the Watermelon Man from Florida, he drove the car this past weekend at Las Vegas. Very respectable finish, too, his first time in that car. And so I think Ross Chastain will be driving that car for some time, at least until Ryan Newman is able to get back into the cockpit of that car.
Yeah, you know, speaking about the Ross Chastain taking over for the time being and also the potential of that car and Ryan Newman going into the season, of course, he had to lead with 100 yards to go in the 500. So what happens in the meantime? Chastain's driving. What happens to the driver points in the meantime until Ryan Newman does climb back behind the wheel?
Well, he will not be getting those points. It'd be different if we had a situation of Ryan Newman climbing in at Las Vegas and they had cleared him and he didn't want to drive the car for the entire race. He would still get driver points if he had started the race and then pulled out of the race. As of right now, he's on hold. And so that means Ross Chastain will be getting those points in favor. It really doesn't affect Roush Fenway Racing whatsoever because however Chastain or Ryan Newman or whoever's in the cockpit of that car and drives that car, of course they will get their owner points out of that and they'll get manufacturer's points. But for Newman right now, it's going to be a game of catch-up. We don't know how long it's going to be. He could be in a situation like what Kyle Busch was here several years ago when Kyle Busch broke his leg and was able to make it back before I guess the first third of the races were concluded because he had that much determination. But we're also talking a broken leg to a head injury, and there's a big difference between the two. So we don't exactly know what's going to happen with Ryan Newman at this point. I look to see him back in the car at least maybe by about the halfway point. But if it came to a championship, NASCAR might make an exception with that on 10, but he's going to have to play catch-up if he does.
Yeah, it makes me think, and I think about this in other sports too. A broken bone, a broken leg might be better than a head injury because we know how broken bones heal. We still really don't know how head injuries heal. So that's the latest on Ryan Newman. All right, so let's talk Vegas. So we talked about Vegas and the fact that, you know, we got some of these updates from Vegas. Ross Chastain ran in the Newman car. Joey Logano gets the big win. There was some late race theatrics. Give us the rundown on Vegas.
I think the late race theatrics that you're talking about more than anything was whether or not the pit with so many laps left to go in the race. And Joey Logano, the call was made by Paul Wolf not to pit before the final restart, and it helped that six other cars stayed out on the track. But in the meantime, the top two cars came down pit road. Logano was running third, stayed out, and he won the race. That made a big difference. That was just one of those poker playing calls right there, whether it's fold or whether, you know, call, whatever you want to do. And Paul Wolf made that decision to go ahead and keep Joey Logano out on the track. And I think another big plus here was some of the other drivers that really benefited out of this too, and the way that the race ran at Las Vegas. Matt DiBenedetto, I told you, I think in the first race show that we did of the podcast, that expect some big things from Matt DiBenedetto. And I thought that at least Daytona might produce something. But daggone, if he didn't almost come up with a win this time around, he finished second in his second race with just the Wood Brothers. So it's a great testament to that young man, because he had tried to prove to everyone last year that he belonged in NASCAR. And I'm telling you, when Wood and when the others with Wood Brothers Racing, and also with Team Penske, who helped them out a little bit with that race team, they were floored at the performance that Matt Benedetto had on Sunday. And then two more drivers that really just blew me away this past weekend. Jimmy Johnson, he scored his first top five finish since last summer's Daytona race. And Bubba Wallace, he made a decision not to pit. It allowed him to finish sixth, giving him his best cup finish on a 1.5-mile track. And I think the big thing that everybody is talking about right now is how these younger drivers in the face of NASCAR, with Bubba Wallace, Ty Dillon, and some of the others, Matt DiBenedetto, have made such a big jump and a big performance right now into coming out of the gate here so early, and you kind of hope that they're going to hold all of this together. They've got California coming up at Auto Club Speedway. That's coming up this Sunday, and that's going to be a big challenge for a lot of these drivers. And the Benedetto wants nothing more than a win. He wants it for the Wood Brothers, and he has said he feels so great to be in that car, that Paul Menard, driving that car last year, prepared this team for his driving style, so to speak, as he got into the car this year. To Benedetto could pull out a win. If all is said and done on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, he could pull out a win. If everything goes the way of the Wood Brothers, they could come away with a big win on Sunday afternoon.
I want to go back to that pit road discussion that you started. I want to get your thoughts, if you can think back to when you were watching the race, and you know, you have the caution. What was it, six laps ago? I think at the time, you have the caution, and I'm thinking, gosh, what are they doing going off the track? You know, and I know that I didn't catch exactly what each team did, but you know, you saw guys go two tires, four tires. That's not a lot of time to make up, even, you know, though, of course, with fresh tires, you're going to be able to make up some ground. But I remember thinking at the time, I'm not so sure about that. What were you thinking? You're a lot more knowledgeable about this than I am.
I just thought they were taking a lot of chances right then. I thought they were taking chances. And, you know, if your car is good enough, and I think as proven at the point with the crew chief, with Paul Wilson, he made that decision, keeping Joey Logano out on the track. I think that was a great call in itself. You know, some of these guys, they do this because they have a chance right down to the very end. If they're on that lead lap, they hope to be able to come back out a position or two higher to where they can maybe pull off one of those dramatic wins. But this wasn't the case. But now the crew chief's decision, you know, these decisions to stay out and so forth, it kind of made a big difference for, you know, a lot of drivers. And we mentioned already Jimmy Johnson. We mentioned Bubba Wallace. Ty Dillon fitted for thinner tires. He was 10th on his first top 10 on a 1.5-mile track. So it actually benefited him in that regard. Jimmy Johnson fitted for two tires, was 5th in scoring his first top 5 finish at the race at Daytona in July. Austin Dillon didn't fit. He placed 4th for his best result in Las Vegas. But Ricky Stenhouse, he didn't fit either. Finished 3rd for his best result at Las Vegas. And KPG Daugherty Racing's best performance at Las Vegas altogether. So it was one of those things you juggle it. And you just say, am I going to fit? Well, I'm close to the front. I'm going to try and see what I can do with it. And a lot of these guys had the power to be able to come into the top 10 and finish up that way. Some of these other guys, they didn't have that opportunity. I think one of the guys that really hurt out of this whole thing was William Byron. William Byron was hurt out of the whole thing of coming in. There was a lap, especially the caution on lap 262. Ross Chastain, he created consternation among a lot of his crew chiefs and the crew chiefs on pit road and dramatically altered the finish of the season's second race. And then that two-lap shootout for the win expected once the caution car collected the field and the car is fitted. Crew chiefs, they were left to decide whether to pit the tires or stay out and gain track position. And a lot of them rolled the dice. And, well, you're in Vegas. You just roll the dice and you take your chance, and that's exactly what happened.
There you go, and what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, as we know. We'll talk about California, where NASCAR heads next, the big series head next, as we wrap our podcast up. But first, got some news. This is some fun news. Involving the Truck Series, Kyle Busch, and a bounty. Get us into these details, Rod.
Well, I think a lot of people are back to the same thing again here, talking about the fact of, why is Kyle Busch running in the Gander Outdoors Truck Series? And, you know, he raced this past weekend. He won the race, the truck race. And it seems like there's just not enough, or maybe there's not enough of an incentive maybe with some of these truck drivers to maybe go and to try to challenge Kyle Busch before it's over with. So Kevin Harvick and Marcus Lemonis came, they went on Twitter and said that they would put up for any full-time Cup driver who can beat Kyle Busch in a truck race. Now, it's another sign of Harvick, I don't know, savvy, I guess, for NASCAR exposure and promotion. And it's kind of one of those things that Humpy Wheeler might have done back in the old days when he still ran the marketing and the management at Charlotte Motor Speedway. And it's creating some buzz. So you've got some truck drivers now that have this opportunity, or some Cup drivers who are going to have this opportunity, maybe at this $100,000, they could do a lot for a mid-tier or lower-tier team in the Truck Series. These guys are running essentially on pennies, nickels, and dimes, and they're running on fumes week after week. It costs a lot to keep the Truck Series be very competitive, and there's been a lot of teams that have dropped off of the face of the map here in the last few years, because they didn't have backing. A lot of these teams don't have backing from a Chevrolet, from a Ford, or from Toyota, or anybody like that. They're kind of just, you know, out there, and they're trying to go and kind of salvage and manage for themselves. And so that's where the situation lies. If somebody's going to put a truck up, and they want to put a truck up, Kevin Harvick wants to make sure that $100,000 is on the line for somebody. Maybe a mid-tier team or that lower-tier team to maybe get the incentive to maybe go and see what they can do against Kyle Busch, because I detect there's a little bit of that feud still going on between Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch as they've had for years and years. But I think it kind of put that bounty out there for some other drivers, especially Matt Crafton all the way to Jennifer Jo Cobb and Norm Denning, to kind of get their act together and maybe see what they can do to challenge Kyle Busch.
Yeah, it makes things interesting anyway for fans, and that's a good thing as well. So, competition is good for everybody. All right, so let's put attention to California. We've had two different winners first two weeks, I should say, Denny Hamlin and Joey Logano. What can we look for this weekend in California?
Well, California Auto Club Speedway, always a track that is a challenge to a lot of these different drivers that are out there. this track, more than anything else, is NASCAR's really big jump into one of the bigger markets. When we say Las Vegas, we think that that's big. But when they're going to Los Angeles, this is a time for them to be able to attract some attention that they don't normally get throughout the year. And I don't know how many of these TV stations and some of the other media outlets in Southern California really talk a whole lot about NASCAR unless it has to do with Jimmy Johnson or Kevin Harvick or somebody like that. But this is a big chance for them to be able to get out there on the front page, so to speak, and the big races come to town. It's also a chance for NASCAR this coming weekend to pay tribute to Kobe Bryant. I think there's several of the teams that's going to be doing that this weekend. Ryan Blaney and Body Armor, they're going to be honoring Kobe Bryant with a tribute paint scheme at Auto Club Speedway. Daniel Suarez will also be running the number 96 Toyota certified used vehicles Camry, and he's also going to be showing his respects to Kobe Bryant. There'll be a lot of tributes, I guess, going for Kobe Bryant, especially from what they feel like he has done for the sport in some other ways. And so you've got at least those two that's going to be running that sort of paint scheme out there. And Ryan Blaney knew Kobe Bryant. They'd interacted quite a bit, and I think it's just a wonderful thing that they're going to be doing that kind of tribute to Kobe Bryant and also to his daughter that their lives were lost in that helicopter crash. But for the rest of the crew that's going to be out there, California is always one of these challenging tracks that you really just don't know what's coming at you until you get started out on the track. And when you do get started out on the track, it either comes to you quick or the track goes away and then comes back again. And so it will be interesting. You know, we had rain this past weekend in Vegas. It canceled qualifying. There were some other things. It delayed the Xfinity race. They had to move it to an hour or almost 2 hours after the Cup race on Monday. Right after that on Sunday, I should say. So it presents a little bit of a challenge. Now, the thing that some people have been talking about concerning NASCAR, they said, well, if you have a drought, especially in Southern California, bring NASCAR there, and they're guaranteed to bring some rain, at least for the weekend. So we're going to see what happens if the rain will hold off and let these teams be able to get this race in and out at Auto Club Speedway. It's a great way for Jimmy Johnson to come back home, say goodbye to a lot of people on the first round coming back through there, and letting everybody know, you know, this is his final year. Great opportunity for Kevin Harvick, another California driver there. But also, whether a lot of people want to believe it or not, it also brings in a strong contingency from south of the border, down around Mexico. It brings some of the people in from Tijuana, brings them up north, and goes especially to the Auto Club Speedway. Daniel Suarez will be a good draw for that one. So it's one of those big races that NASCAR, I think, sometimes they overlook to some degree. It's a big track. It's a big media opportunity for them, and I just hope that they are able to use it well this coming weekend.
This is our good friend Rod Mullins. You can follow him on Twitter. Go to RodrickM926, and you get some good insight from him and on NASCAR and some other topics as well. But RodrickM926 on Twitter. Hey, Rod, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.